that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And we welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This fourth day of August 2012, and it's a brisk morning here at the Radio Ranch. It's certainly cooled off and cloudy day. Might have a little rain coming in today, not sure, but we say good morning to you out there for joining us, and good morning in here as well. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And we say good morning, John.
Good morning.
And I think Jason maybe will join us a little bit later. Couldn't catch him on the phone this morning, but we'll see if we can get in touch with him in a little bit, but we'll go ahead and get started out. And Kyle, would you open us up in prayer?
Sure. Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with a humble spirit, Lord. We just ask you to be with us, watch over us, guide, and protect all of us, Lord. We ask you for your Holy Spirit guidance, direction, our words and our thoughts as we go through this weekend. We ask you for your direction on the ministry, Lord, that we keep on the straight and narrow path, for broad is the way that leads to destruction. And we want to go straight. We want to look straight, not look side to side, Lord. And we ask for your help, for your guidance. And we ask for you to not let us be deceived by anything or anyone. Lord, we just ask for discernment on what to bring, what to say, what to talk about, what to believe. For your son asked the question when he's on earth, will I find faith when I come, Lord? And we ask that he will.
Yes.
And that it would be with us, Lord. So give us that faith, Lord. The things that are not seen, but are the evidence of things to come, Lord. We just want that. And we know with that faith, Lord, that you're going to give us that we must act. For faith without action, faith without works is dead. Just ask for that. And again, we ask for knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we do the right thing and we go the right direction. And protect us, our families, and all those that are yours, Lord, in these troubled times. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 And the program you're listening to, folks, is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. The Radio Ranch Wranglers are here at the Radio Ranch, and we've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and so from there, your guess is as good as ours. We'll just see which way we go and what we cover and what we don't. So I've got a couple things to talk about, but I'll put it out there. John, how are things down in Colorado? You got anything to bring to us first thing this morning?
Good. I was up a little early this morning looking at the news, and it's kind of disgusting. You look at that Chick-fil-A rally that they had on the 1st of August, and they set records for sales and people standing in line for hours just to support them because they're standing on the on their faith. Sure, they don't have everything right, but who does? And
I do.
Well, John,
that was a joke.
You asked, John. So.
I know. And then on the 3rd, the queers mounted some kind of they're calling it National Same Sex Kissing Day or something, and they decided to have their own rally at Chick-fil-A, and it's kind of comical when you look at the pictures. There's probably like 4 people at the Chick-fil-A's, and everyone stayed away from them, and it's just, but some of the t-shirts and things that they had are along the lines of what Alan Berg said so many years ago on the radio. And, all I can tell them is, they know not what they do. But,
well, I think they do know what they do, John. Not to correct you, but I think they do. I think that they are of their father, the devil. And I think
that they have
turned away from God. They've thumbed their nose at him and lifted their middle finger to him and shouted all types of four-letter words and expletives at him.
You must have seen the same shirt.
No, I haven't, but yeah. In my mind's eye, I've seen it.
They cursed God on their shirts? I mean, are you not telling us what it said? Because it's just
I can't tell you what it said.
No, I see. Yeah.
One said, Jesus is...
Right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, right, that kind of stuff.
So they're not going after Chick-fil-A, they're going after God himself.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And isn't that what God told Isaiah when he told Isaiah to go preach to the people and tell them the truth? And he said, now, they're going to reject you, Isaiah, but don't be upset because they're not rejecting you.
Yeah, they're rejecting me.
They're rejecting
you. Yeah, what was that sign that idiot had at Branson? Don't tolerate intolerance, or we will not tolerate intolerance or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Just shows you the mentality of the people you're dealing with.
Right. But that's what they do, John. I think that they do the will of their father, the devil, who was a liar from the beginning. They've believed the lie. Now, whether they are, you know, physically, whether the DNA that they have in them, whether they are white or not, whether they are Caucasian or not, you know, it's by their fruits you shall know them. You know, that is one of the foundational, I guess.
Yeah, basic
understandings of the Bible by their fruits. And so when you got people in there that are cursing God, that are lifting their middle finger to him, whether it's on their shirt or not, that are basically, the Bible talks about that is blaspheming, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
When they're doing that, it's by their fruits you shall know them. You know?
Yeah, I had some special prayer for him this morning.
And so, you know, that's that is how it is. And, you know, God has certain instructions for those types. And, you know, he is patient. But it doesn't, when the Bible says that God is patient, not wanting any to perish, it doesn't mean that it doesn't take away from anything else that God is. It doesn't take away that he's a jealous God. It doesn't take away that his decisions are just and righteous. And it doesn't take away from the fact that he hates sin. He hates it. And he only puts up with it for so long.
Pastor Peter's right. First sermon that you can order out of the catalog. What is it, 101?
101.
Yeah. Professing to be wise, they became as fools. And if you go to Romans 1, I think it's 22.
I'm going
to
go there.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Anyway, it talks about those that go into immorality. Men with men, women with women. And then it talks about how God's going to give them over to a reprobate
mind.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, whether they start out a son of hell, or they end up a two-fold more son of hell, doesn't really matter.
Doesn't.
You know?
Right.
Like Richard was saying, doesn't matter what color they are, doesn't matter, you know, where their heritage goes back to. If you leave God like that, you know, and if you never were God, but he is going to give you over to reprobate mind, and then it goes on and gives you a list of many other sins that come with that. But it starts out with the sin of homosexuality. If you really read the context, I mean, that's what it really gets at.
Oh, it does.
But then it goes into all these other things, and it is. They think they're so smart. They think they're so much above everybody, you know, and you think about, you know, me and Tracy was driving home from the church one day and a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I cannot stand hypocrites in the Pharisees' attitude, you know. And I said, I think I hate them more than anybody, you know. And I use the term hate pretty loosely. I just grow up that way. But she goes, well, you don't hate them more than like a pedophile or something. I go, it's different. No, I don't hate them more than a pedophile, but they make me, you know, anger more than anything, because they act like they're so much better than us, you know. And Richard was talking, and he was using a story of how many people has went to a movie, you know, and everybody raises their hands, but there's somebody that, you know, he's too proud, he's too above everybody, he won't raise his hand. So Richard just put him on the spot. You never went to a movie? Well, I don't go to movies. Well, you know, it's like, you missed the point. You know, he was trying to give an illustration, because I think it was right after the shootings, right?
Yeah,
you know?
I think so.
He was trying to give an illustration, and we're all sitting there knowing, this guy's went to the movies before. I mean, you don't act like you're so above everybody, so wise, you know. You got all this going for you, you know, to where you're kind of just a jerk, you know. And my point is, you can become so wise in your own minds, you know, that you just become a fool, you know, whether everybody can recognize it or not. I went to Chick-fil-A yesterday after I left the print shop, bring some home, you know, and partly because, you know, I appreciate what they're doing, and partly because I really like Chick-fil-A. But there was a cop there in the restaurant. It was pretty mild, about 5 o'clock, you know, but
was that the one down on South College or whatever?
Yeah.
I went there for lunch. Took the wife there. We were out driving.
But, hey, man, you guys ain't supposed to be going there yesterday.
Well, we got Jason.
Well, what was yesterday?
Oh, I saw the two. Good morning.
Day, man.
Good morning, Jason.
Well, anyway, my point is that there were some people out there that act so wise and so much above you, and it's just disgusting to me, because what happened to the humility that used to be in this land? You know, what happened to, you know, just, me and Richard was talking the other night, you know, I forget what night it was, but what happened to just love your brother as you want to be loved? I mean, it's gone.
It's gone.
Disappeared. You know, and you got all these people in every category. It's not just the homosexual category. It's the whatever category, the medical field, the politics, they've either had to, because of the world, or they wanted to, they've dropped all their standards, you know, all their noble causes, all their dignity. It's just gone out the window, you know, and And I know I'm rambling here, but it's just disgusting to me that you just can't be a normal human being and treat other human beings normal. You have to act like you're just this bigwig, you know, and it just sickens me.
That humility, I think, has been replaced with pride.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it has.
I think it has.
You know, if you don't have the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, you've got the pride. You know, I mean, it gets you. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. Good morning, Jason. Good morning.
Well, John, we, yeah, I saw the police down there also yesterday when I went by there, but, well, Kyle, I think you're right on there. You know, the, you're reading out there, the first of Romans, and that would be an excellent place for, you know, for if the churches would just preach on Romans 1, you know, they'll sure go to what, Romans 13, and want to get you to obey all the laws, right? Isn't that where that is? But if they would just start with Romans 1 and read through that, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator.
Yeah.
And like Kyle said, just read on from there. That's
I think it's verse 27 where it says,
and,
yeah. The lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You know, I mean, and that, you know, I mean, you have all these people that pretend to be Christians out there, and they're the ones that I want to just put my hands around their neck, you know, and shake them and say, wake up, you know, because they're the ones professing to be one of my Lord's servants, you know, but yet they take the word of God and they just, you know, spit on it, you know, or they don't know it or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, that professing to be wise, they portray this false morality, you know. The Olympic Committee did that. You know, I talked about it a little bit on Thursday night. I saw some news reports earlier this week. The Olympics, I guess they're still going on. I haven't followed them. But they send this little blonde girl from Greece home, kick her out of the Olympics, because she tweeted something about there being a lot of Africans there and that the West Nile mosquitoes would be eating on home blood or something like that, home food, you know, and racist connotations or whatever there, and they kicked her out of the Olympics. Here, this athlete, top of her game, you know, representing her country, you go home. She's kicked out. But in the packets that they were passing out to all the athletes there, they included like 15 condoms in every packet to every athlete. And so I think that ties right in with it, Kyle. They profess to be wise, but they are fools. They present this false morality. We're moral. We cannot stand any type of racism or anything whatsoever like that. But it's okay to fornicate. We just want you to fornicate safely.
Right. It's actually, you know, I mean, it's actually teachings right out of the Talmud. You know, it's that pharisaical attitude. You know, I mean, people don't see it that way, but when you really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, that's exactly what it is.
Did anybody watch that opening ceremony for the Olympics?
Part of it. Part of it. That
I didn't
was sick.
See it, but I looked at a lot of the symbolism and stuff afterwards. I mean, it's from the beginning, that whole ceremony, and everything that was taking place there was they were using Kabbalistic Tree of Life in their symbolism. They were using the All-Seeing Eye in their symbolism. Zion is all over their symbolisms, their logos, and actually spells out the word Zion in it. And there were several countries that wouldn't have partake in the Olympics this year because they said that, you know, we're not going to partake in Zion. And
which countries was that? Maybe we should look at moving there.
Well, I mean, the thing is you can look at that thing. That wasn't our people that put that together. That isn't our event. That is something. It was a celebration. It was a celebration to other gods.
altogether. And to think that they're going to have anything to do with Christian morals on the way they put that thing together is just, you know, it's not going to happen. You know,
right.
It's not double-mindedness. They know exactly what they're doing. It's not hypocritical because they know exactly what they're doing. It's to their gods. They are different people that put this together. And if you go through just all the symbolism and everything that took place on that whole opening ceremony, you know, it's pretty obvious what they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, here's a scripture, Kyle. It pretty much explains what's going on in 2 Timothy 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will become lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's probably far enough.
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of it does go back to a lack of humility. You know, remember those couple of guys that went to church and they were laughing and joking in the background when Peter started to give his sermon? He rebukes them. They never come back to church.
Yep.
Because there's no humility. Now, you couldn't tell they didn't have humility before that.
No.
But when the rubber hit the road, you know, and pride got involved, like you said, Richard, there was a lack of humility.
Yep.
You know, on my little trip last weekend, you know, I talked to several people, and we talked about different times we got rebuked by the pastor.
Oh, yeah.
I brought up the Happy Meal. Do you guys remember the Happy Meal sermon? I wouldn't get down and get my prize from under the bench. And so, you know, and Peter's just like, Kyle, you know, get down there, you know. The reason why I didn't get down on the ground and get my little prize, which was a Reese's peanut butter cup, I think, is because of pride. Well, when he said my name off the pulpit and told me to get down, I would have been way better off if I had just got down there and got it in the first place. But we weren't together. These were different groups and settings, but it seemed to be the theme of my trip. One guy said he got rebuked because he wasn't taking notes at one of the camps. You know, he was kind of set back, maybe had his leg, you know, up and crossed, and all of a sudden, next thing you knew, Peter was saying, you might want to take notes or something like that. And there was another man who got rebuked for yawning. You know, I mean, because, I mean, and it wasn't like an attack. It was like, you know, am I boring you type thing? Or, you know, you know. But those men stayed. I mean, they didn't get, you know, they had humility. They took the rebuke. You know, they were acting like I needed it, you know.
Well, how was it given? When the rebuke was given from our pastor.
Out of love, yeah.
Out of love. Out of concern for the brethren and love. You know, and it was never given out of spite.
No.
Never.
No, it's for the...
And some people can't see that.
Right.
Some people don't see that. They have that pride. That pride stands in the way.
Yeah, there's a proverb that says something like, rebuke is greater than love. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know the exact term, but it's...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah. Yeah.
The best sermons are lived, not preached.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Dad lived them.
Yep.
Well, 2 Timothy 4:2. This is Paul writing to Timothy, his beloved son in the faith. He starts off saying, you know, that I thank God. And then in 4 he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season.
Yep.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, I do believe that our pastor read and learned and understood that very early on in his career and applied it. Because that's who I think of when I read that. Because that is what he did. But it goes on and says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Right.
But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths.
And I think that pride fits right in there. That's what they do. They want to have their ears tickled. They want to be puffed up. They want to be told how much they're appreciated. They want to be told how much they're needed.
Yep. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm sure you guys felt the same way. I mean, that was one of my draws to this ministry. Was there was a man up there on the pulpit that was going to say, knock it off.
You know?
I needed that.
No matter what the consequences, he didn't care about whether you...
Right.
He lost you because he'd lose some support, you know?
Right. I know different people have different characteristics. Flattery has always turned me off. You know, I mean, if somebody... I mean, for one, it makes me uncomfortable. For another, it's just like, I know what I am. You know, so you're wasting your time there. You know, I mean, but... For some reason, man, when I heard a man that would tell me that I was in sin or that I better shape up or that I, you know, all of a sudden, whoa. You know, it's like, I mean, there's a dumb movie out, What About Bob, but he goes to the psychiatrist and he's like, he just started going, ouch, ouch, you know, and then he's like, you can help me because the guy was whipping him. You know, I mean, and that's kind of the way it is. It's like, oh man, I need this, you know. And it's like a child that needs punished. You know what I mean? They don't know. A lot of them don't know it, but that's the best thing that can happen to them.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, what I guess What About Bob kind of shut everybody up there.
No, time.
No, actually, we don't like that movie.
We don't watch movies, Kyle.
Yeah, a guy will say he didn't watch movies and his wife's on Facebook 24 hours a day, so it's like, give me a break.
Well, that's how that goes. Well, got a new swine flu outbreak, I guess. Some big CDC is because it's state fair time, all the places, all the states are having their fairs, and of course everybody's showing pigs, and there's some type of new swine flu that's... new influenza strain sickened at least 12 people last week. All cases involved recent contact with pigs at agricultural fairs, mainly coming out of Ohio. And but they're saying that, oh, that's a big 29 cases of that. That's big these days and breaking back out. And then another news report I saw about tuberculosis making a big comeback. Have you seen much on that, Jason?
No, I haven't.
They said... 3,000 people in the past 2 years in Jacksonville were exposed, and they've only found like 253 people of those 2,000. And
that might not be a disease. That might be a cure.
Well, it might be, because a lot of what this is coming in on is it's because it comes in with the mainly the illegal immigrants. You know, when... there used to be a time when you immigrated to this country that you had to be healthy, and you had to, if you wanted to come in and immigrate. And now it's like, if you can make it across the border and duck under the fence or ride in the back of an 18-wheeler for 18 hours, then you can make it in regardless. And so that's what I'm seeing in the headlines. New TB cases breaking out, tuberculosis. Now, they used to call that... like in the old Western days, didn't they call that consumption? Wasn't that kind of the same, along the same lines? I thought that's what it was.
I don't know. Did anybody see that San Bernardino filed Chapter 9 bankruptcy?
No. Is that a county in California or a town?
It's a city.
Wow.
It's like the third one, but that's a big one.
Yeah, it's the third one, but actually I think it's the fourth, but it's a big one. You know, $45.8 million over their budget. Chapter 9 bankruptcy for the city hall and all the city buildings, that's pretty, boy, that sure shows you the signs of the times.
Oh, the Chinese will come in and bail them out and buy them. And,
no, they won't. Obama will. Just print more money. What's the big deal? Add a few more zeros to the deficit.
Yeah, he's real good at that.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt in my mind the prayers that we've been praying, DC Street Sorcery and pistol and rifle prayers are taking effect on this Babylonian economy, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And then, I guess it was this week or last week, I can't remember which, but the courts upheld the first use of a domestic drone in the rest of American citizen. Did anybody see that?
I did see that. I did. And that's just the, tell me that's not the shape of things to come.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that why they make a scope?
yeah, I was thinking more like you might want a, I don't know, goose gun.
Well, I'm thinking that's what I was thinking. You know, we haven't gone pheasant hunting in a long time. But if when is that? Fall or
drone hunting?
Fall or January or something like that. So we might have to get the old trap machine out and practice up a little bit, huh?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So Jason, you're the resident ammo guy. What would you suggest? Number fours?
Yeah. What the bigger the better. I don't know. I've never shot a drone before. Who knows? Might get a chance.
You know, I did see something here about a year ago about a guy, I think it was up kind of more in the northwest, Montana or somewhere, that did shoot down a drone. It was like the university was using them.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
You remember that? Wasn't that a year or two ago, and it was like the university or somebody was using them for taking pictures of animals or something?
Yeah, they took off out at the airport, and it came over the hills, and boom, 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 and down it came.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah, they hit it and was pretty low. I imagine these things fly pretty high.
Yeah, probably.
But I was trying to find out how high they actually did fly, and I haven't been able to define that. I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, if they're in the 3,000-foot range or if they're more like 10,000-foot.
I don't know.
It'd be interesting to know, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, more like a rifle. Depends on
how it might be. It might be a couple hundred feet above the surface. Who knows? But
yeah.
I just don't know. Maybe they.
Take it out, Jason.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
What else is going on? I mean, it just seems like there's so much going out on the news. When I joined you, you guys were talking about the Chick-fil-A thing.
Yes.
And there's been a blackout on the news on everything that was going on there as well.
Yeah, it's backfired on them big time.
It has, and they tried showing the newspaper down here. They did an article on it, and it was crazy because they were showing the protesters that that were protesting, and they didn't show how many people. They didn't show that traffic was stopped. They didn't talk about that the line made a figure eight inside the store, then came out the store, then wrapped around the store before you could, you know, order your food. They just they showed that there was people that were upset about it and that were protesting and making a
stand. Yeah, like about six, maybe.
And that's the thing. There was, from the people that I talked to that were there, said that there was two when they were there. Another person said that they thought that they had four. Now, you're going to take that and just, I mean, you can see what the media is doing. And, you know, blackout on the news. And it's like they're just a bunch of whores. You know, they get the message. Okay, this is what we're covering. This is what we want it to look like. And, you know, like that Carl Klein song says, when the cutting and the editing is finally done, they put horns on your head, changing everything you said, make you sound like the devil's own son.
Yep.
And
yeah,
that's
amen.
Exactly what they do.
That's their job.
Plus, like Richard said, the other song Carl Klein did, this ain't America no more, you know? It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But along with that, I was, I don't know, I jumped in the truck or something, and Way FM was on, kind of a supposedly Christian station. Could have fooled me about 80% of the time when you're listening to something on there. But anyways, they had some liberal, I don't know, call it so-called Christian, lukewarm, you know, complaining about on that day of protest of the first, they had their Twitter, whatever it is, Facebook and Twitter accounts up, and they had to shut it down because there was so much hate going back and forth between the homosexuals and the Christians, and Christians telling them they're going to hell, and you know, and they're like, "What happened to the tolerance?" And I'm like, "You got to be kidding me!" I couldn't even, I almost punched the radio. But it's just
wow.
supposedly Christian radio just spewing false doctrine, you know?
You know, John, what happens is even the people that when they start talking about that, they show their absolute ignorance of the Bible. You know, back to Romans
exactly.
1, where Kyle started out today's broadcast. Romans 1, 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to those things which are not proper. And then it lists all those other things. This is after they've turned faggot and queer and filthy pedophile and homosexual and sexual pervert. This is after all that. And at the end of that verse, at the end of Romans 1, this is your beloved New Testament. By the beloved bondservant of Christ Jesus, Paul, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Read and hear the gospel of God. Those who practice such things are worthy of death.
Yep.
They
Amen.
Not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. God's word says they are worthy of death.
Right. Apparently they have never read the scripture.
Apparently
too. Better to
not.
Have a millstone around your neck than cast into the deepest sea than to cause one of my little ones to stumble, which is exactly what they're doing.
It is. It is. Those, you know, people, you got to remember, those filthy faggots, those sexual perverts, they don't reproduce. They have to recruit.
Yep.
And they want to recruit your children into that death lifestyle, and they want to recruit my children and all of our children into that.
Yep.
And that's why Paul, the bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle set apart for spreading the gospel of God, says they are worthy of death. Now, you know, if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with Romans, not with me.
Yeah.
But that's what the Bible says.
You guys ever go to that Freedom from Religion Foundation website?
No, we rely on you to keep us updated on that.
I'm telling you what, man. I'm irate.
Yeah.
But, they got, I don't know, we're, you know, obviously these rich liberals, Antichrist, support them, but we looked into some billboards, and, man, they're pricey, I'll tell you what. But anyways, they got these billboards all over now in Spokane and in Idaho. You know, now they're in our country, and the West used to just be the East, but... they got these contests where you send in a slogan or something, and then they'll put it on a billboard, and one of them is this white young man that says, "On bended knee, not for me," you know? And then...
Well, see, there again, they don't read the Bible, because it seems like that it says in the Bible, almost every knee will bow except for that guy, right? Isn't that what
it
says?
Yeah.
Almost
well,
every
it's
knee.
Well, going to bow one way or the other, I'll tell you that. But
yeah.
Anyways, then they got like this mutt atheist family, good without God, you know. Some preacher used to let's see, what is it? Now preaching reason and not religion, you know. Just talk about being bold and then they got, you know, mixed marriages here. Our morality comes from reality, you know, and it's just pretty.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what the Olympic Committee says. Our morality comes from reality. Because it's just, you can't talk about racism. It's not good. You can't make fun of the other races. You can't even acknowledge and say that there's blacks here, mosquitoes eat them, and that type of thing. You can't say that. But it's okay to fornicate. But you go out and have all the sex you want here, have some condoms, and, you know, it's this, it is this false, you know, what was it you were reading earlier, and was it Timothy or Peter,
yeah.
You know,
about Timothy 3.
Yeah, about, you know, it tells us, realize this, 2 Timothy 3, that in the last days difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, boastful, unholy, ungrateful, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. If that's not today, if that's not just what you're describing, John, and when is that it happens? 14 years before the last days? No. In the last days. In the last days.
Okay, now here's the cream whatever you call it. But anyways, they got a certificate.
The worst
of the worst?
They
got a certificate now. What's that?
Is it the worst of the worst?
Yeah. They got a certificate now. Now, imagine the boldness of this, okay? Okay, this is something you can print and sign and having notarized. But anyway, just listen to this. Having been subjected to a Christian baptism before reaching an age of consent. So they're talking about, you know, younger kids or whatever. Or having submitted to baptism before embracing free thought and reason, hereby officially renounce that primitive right and the church that imposed it. I categorically reject the creeds, dogmas, and superstitions of my former religion, particularly the pernicious doctrines of origin, sin, and damnation. Okay, that's the first paragraph. Then further denounce as an affront and defamation. It's kind of hard to read because I had to blow it up to see it. To humility, the false and demeaning belief that any baby is born with original sin and must be cleansed of it by baptism. From this day forward, I wish to be excluded from any claims of religion, affiliation, or membership based on baptismal records. And then next to that, with soap, baptism is a good thing. Robert G. Ingersoll. Now you tell me that that's not bold and brazen.
It is.
To the point of almost disbelief.
Well, you know, you think about that, though, and you know, Christ said, neither you were hot nor cold, but because you were lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You know, here we've got some that are hot or some that are cold, and, you know, where do you got the lukewarm ones?
In the churches.
In the churches. And who's going to be spewed out of his mouth?
Exactly. That's exactly the scripture
and
I thought of when I was listening to that stupid way of him.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I think that just about everything that we've talked about is a good time to promote this new book that we've got. Kyle was working hard on it this week. And it puts it in perspective. Kyle, did you get a chance to read any of that this week?
Yeah. I took a copy home. I didn't get it completed. I'd never read it before, but you know what really impressed me is how the pastor puts it. It's such an easy read, you know, and it's not dumb. I mean, there is so much intelligence there, but it's just like everything else. Like when he preached, he made the complicated seem so simple.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He simplifies this down to where, you have to be blind not to understand what he's talking about. And
well,
that's so
right. The difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. A false prophet makes the simple and takes it and blows it out of proportion and makes it so complex that you can't understand it.
Yep.
Right.
And a true prophet takes the complex, what the average person doesn't see, and simplifies it so that the average person can understand it.
Yes.
Amen. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, you ought to at least give him the title of the book.
Well, I was waiting on you to do that.
The title, of course, is Are They Preachers or Are They Pimps? And it's basically what this ministry has put out for years. But Pastor Peters delivered some messages years ago. I don't know who wrote it down for him or whatever, but I mean, it's just a pamphlet book. You know, it's not huge, but it is awesome. You know, I mean, he puts it into, if you have any type of sight at all, if you're just not totally blind, you will get some stuff out of this. You know, I mean, a lot of stuff you may have heard before, but it doesn't help have it right there in print where you can read over it and make notes and, you know, because you can add a lot to it because, you know, like I said, it's just a pamphlet, you know, and it'll take your mind to other scriptures that maybe he don't use, you know, but, you know, I mean, it's a great tool, I guess would be the, you know, another weapon.
Yes, and he answers that question. Are they preachers or are they pimps? And he leads
pimps.
You, pimps, yeah, he leads you to find that answer in the scripture.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, I read that.
We have the saying. We have the saying that says, "If it walks like a duck, and talks like a duck,
must be a duck,
and quacks like a duck, it must be a duck." And pastor will lead you through the scriptures in the Bible and let you find the answer. Is it a preacher,
or is it? And it is still amazing how many people will go listen to a duck and not even know it's a duck. I mean, seriously.
Well, and you take that book and that DVD that we redid, it, you know, just timeless, awesome video. That's one of my favorite messages because it just puts it into perspective. And when he preached that message, he was preaching to a fairly good patriot group and at the time. And it was so powerful and make so much sense, and anybody that watches that, it just goes wow.
Yeah. Didn't he bring it? Wasn't it like a tax protest group? I mean, I think it had either a governor or a senator speak at it, or some big politician, and then it had all these. You know, he was like the only preacher there, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yep, he was. Know?
And then the papers came out. There was like 600 people there or something, and you know, and the papers came out, and they didn't talk about the politician that was there or these other guys that wrote a lot of tax books and stuff. They talked about the preacher that was there, you know, and they, you know, I remember him telling, you know, reading that they quoted some Jew that was there and everything, but yeah, he got the feathers ruffled there. You know, I would have loved to have been there at that meeting.
Yep. Well,
yeah, so that you can order the Preachers or Pimps package for, I believe it's a $10 donation, isn't it?
I believe it is, and that's either the CD and the booklet or the DVD and the booklet as the Preachers or Pimps package, and we'll be glad to send it to you. You can order that.
It's one of those definitely worthwhile things to have, to read, to watch the DVD, and this is one that you really should watch it. You should pass it on, either make copies of it or just
I'm gonna have to order that.
You know, just give it to somebody who's struggling with trying to figure out if there's somebody that's having problems and doesn't see what's going on in their church. Give them the DVD. Give them the book. If they're a reader, give them the book. And let them read it. It's simple to understand, and they'll be able to relate to it.
I got the pamphlets or the books, but I haven't got the DVD. I got $10 in my pocket. Do we have any of those DVDs up here?
We'll get one for you. Absolutely, we will. But so you can, people. It's a new booklet. First time in print. Pastor preached the sermon years ago. But like all of them, they are as much or even more applicable today and more needed today than when they were first preached. And they're able to go to a different audience today. And therefore, they have a different application, an additional application today. And so we have that, Preachers or Pimps. If you'd like it, you can write to us and order it. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We will get it up on the Resource Center, the catalog that's online as well. We'll shoot for having that up next week. And that you can go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And at the very least, you can send us an email from there and say, hey, send me the Preachers or Pimps package. Yeah,
$10. I mean, how can you go wrong?
Yep.
Amen.
Well, talking about the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they've decided to call themselves the Nones, N-O-N-E-S's, non-believers, and they're claiming to have 19%, basically one in five people who are now non-believers.
Well, that's good. That's what I call them too. They're non-believers.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
but I say we start praying fervently that God gives them what they want: freedom from religion in hell.
Well, they're going to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just, let's use the Bible terms though. They are tares.
Exactly.
That's what they are. They are tares. And in Matthew 13:25 or 13, 41, starting with 40, it says, so just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks, and those who commit lawlessness, and those non-believers, I'll add, but I think that that would apply there.
Yeah.
Those that commit lawlessness.
And then you, and then what will be added there is what Jason brought up is the ones, the lukewarms, because, you know, in Matthew 7, you know, it equates them with getting burned up too, you know,
yes.
those, it says that don't bring forth good fruit, you know, and that's what the lukewarm is, you know, they're a tree, you know, that you can, if you just walk by it, you can't see what it is, you know, but if you look at the fruit, you know, and all of a sudden they're not bringing forth fruit, you know, what are they, they're gonna be cut down, spewed out, throwed up, whatever, however you want to put it, and cast into the fire, you know, and I think I'll go over to Malachi while we're on the subject and read the, go ahead and talk.
Well, they're cursed because they don't produce fruit. You know, like
right.
The fig tree. The fig tree's purpose, the fig tree's whole purpose, whole meaning of life was to produce fruit.
In Malachi 4, last chapter of the Old Testament, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch.
And that's not just the lukewarm. That's what they say there, the proud.
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier. That pride.
Amen.
That's a good warning there. And that's Malachi 4?
That's Malachi 4, 1.
Yeah, right at the end. I read that many a time. That's an easy book to read.
Yeah. 4 chapters and most of them are short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's some Bible truth out there, Remnant, that you might not be hearing at your local Judeo-Christian church, at your little Baptist Babel church down the road that you might go just for fellowship or because grandma went there or whatever reason. But
it's called hellfire and brimstone. I mean, it used to be common.
It yeah. is. But choose you this day who you're going to serve. The Word of God is true. It is coming. It's here today. The things that it describes in the last days, we are living today. We certainly are.
Yep, and praise God. No shortage of things to pray for and against, men.
That's right.
And, you know, there's no shortage of things to say to people, don't do that. You know, if you want to call it a rebuke or a reprove, I mean, we're all into exhorting and edifying one another. Nobody has any problem with that, you know.
Right.
Well, it's kind of our job to reprove and rebuke, you know. And if I do something wrong, it's your job to reprove and rebuke me. I mean, but nobody wants to do that because they feel like, ooh, you know, am I getting out of my place, you know. And that shouldn't even enter our thoughts.
We just read here that that's what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to do that.
We are.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, everybody's scared to do it. You know.
Well, guys, we're just about out of time. Somebody want to invite the Remnant to church tomorrow?
Yeah, come on into church.
Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I'm not ashamed to invite our friends to church out there.
Neither am I. I'm afraid I'll make
a
mistake.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's the same place that it's always been for years and years.
It's in LaPorte.
It's in LaPorte, Colorado, if you want to join us. If you're going to join us physically at the church, how about give us a call and let us know you're coming so we know. We'd appreciate that. Or send us an email, preacher@sfaw.org. We do have a lady coming out from, is it Oregon, to get baptized?
I don't know. Is she coming out this week?
Well, I don't know this week. We prayed for her Wednesday night. She kind of is battling pneumonia, I guess. And but she said she was going to put that off till maybe September. So hopefully she will be out. I think we have some visitors from Canada that will be there with us Sunday. We're expecting them. But you can join us at church. You don't have to leave Canada. You don't have to even leave your house. You can just go to the internet and go to our website, scriptures4america.org. And if you'll do that at 10 o'clock
Mountain Time Sunday morning. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast to join us for a two-hour church service. You'll have a scriptural insight and study, kind of a Sunday school type message. And you'll get to see John and hear a welcome from him. And we'll have some good music. Shannon and I will lead in a few songs. And I think Kyle's got communion tomorrow. Right, Kyle?
I think I do.
Kyle's going to bring a communion message for us tomorrow. And then we'll have a timeless pulpit truth message from Pastor Peter J. Peters that will certainly edify and exhort.
And it'll build your faith, guaranteed.
And it will build your faith. It will. And I would suggest you, when you tune in, have your Bible, but also have a notepad and a pen, because you'll be hard-pressed to be able to catch every scripture verse. It's just hard to do it. So you can write those down and go back and visit them again.
And faith comes by hearing. You know, doesn't say it comes by reading. It comes by hearing, and you're going to hear the Word of God preached.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, we thank all of you men here for joining us at the Radio Ranch this morning, and we thank you, the remnant out there, for tuning in this Saturday morning, or even for tuning in and pulling the message down off the archives. The messages are archived at that same website you can join us for church at. And again, that website is scripturesforamerica.org. We do encourage you to go there. Our statement of faith is there. If you have any questions, want to know just maybe who we are, what we teach, what we promote, and basically it's the Bible, but it's there. And again, hope that you can join us at church tomorrow. We're going to go out with one of the pastor's favorite songs. If you like it, we do have them available on CD and in a songbook. Have four circuit riding preacher songbooks. You can look at those at the website. Hope you enjoy it, men. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out. Head